Guys, welcome to Church Unusual. You can turn to Matthew chapter 16. So I said we'll be starting off Matthew chapter 16. Right around verse 17, 18. Of course, you know the story. I read the story to you. We're going to read a little bit in the book, chapter 1, Church Unusual, Catalyst for Global Transformation. Underline the first line, the church is not natural to earth. Now, let me give you, usually when you, in some classes, they'll give you a key, they'll give you like a definition of a word. And then from then on, you should use that definition of the word for the entirety of every time that you see the word. And so this is our given understanding. And so this is what I'm going to do with the word, or the title church. We have to understand, I'm gonna say this from jump, it's gonna say a little bit in chapter one, but many times we can get to thinking that the church is the building, or thinking that the church is the temple, or thinking that the church are the preachers and the deacons and the elders, or the ministry helps, or the choir, or all those things, and we can end up thinking that that is the church, the missions, the outreaches, or we end up thinking that that is the church. When a lot of times those are only lanes of church, or those are only lanes for the church. Those are only conduits for the church. What do I mean when I say that? The church is a live, living organism, and the church is who you are. When they use the phrase church in scriptures, and even back in those days, and I think I said it in one of my other classes, or maybe the intro class, church was just a called out gathering. It's when you gathered a group of people together and you called them out from their homes, called them out from their workplaces and gathered in a central place. That's what they will call a church. That's why there's not just Christian churches, but there's all kinds of churches. So we can't just get caught up on the idea of church. I know Christians have coined the phrase or coined the name and took a majority the mainstream appeal of the word church. But who the church is really a living organism. It's a group, but it's built off of living organisms. So we are the church. And so everything that we do concerning your particular church or your particular ministry, or whatever you want to call it, is the church filling that with God's will, filling that with the life of God. So when we hear the word church, when we read it, we're going to be reading some of the lines, underlining some things. I don't want you to think of the brick and mortar. I don't want you to think of the building. Even though he may be referring to this, a lot of times in this, because of advancement in understanding, there's always advancement. Everybody that writes books, I think they're writing in the level of revelation they have for that time. God is always growing, always increasing, always revealing more. And so realize the church is a live, living organism. You are the church. Your body, the scripture says over and over again, your body is a temple. Scripture says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? Nobody's a temple of the Lord, right? Great is he that is in me. Where is the kingdom of God? Lo, here, lo, then, the kingdom of God is within you. We are the living church. So now we read this first line and say, the church is not natural to this earth. It's a simple statement. Now, if you think of the building, the building is very natural to this earth. The building, I made a statement the other day, and I didn't want to put it out because I was about to, put it out on my social media, but I didn't want to hurt people because people understand it. But I'll say it here, that many churches, as distinctive they try to be or different as they try to be, they're cookie cutter. They're built on the one same template. Pews, pulpit, walls, sing a little bit for the preaching, lay hands on people. And a lot of people say, well, that's the status of the church, what the book of Acts said. I get all that. But a lot of times it becomes monotone, it becomes a regular thing, and it does become natural to this earth. I mean, if you even look around in your church, I look around the building I'm in right now, all of these materials that it took to build church came from the earth. They're natural. There's nothing spiritual about them walls. Them walls, I love when Jesus talking, he said, tear down this temple, in 3 days I'll build it back up. They're talking about, man, it took so many years to build this temple. He wasn't even talking about that. He was talking about a whole nother level of understanding of I'm about to say what? Watch this. Who really is the temple? So the church is not natural to the earth. It is God's habitation where he dwells, lives, and manifests itself without measure. Now listen to what it's saying, right? It is, and remember now, we are the church. Say it, I am the church, all right? So if we are the temple, we are the church, it is God's habitation. Put your hand on your chest. Where he dwells, lives, and manifests himself without measure. The first two lines of chapter one. Where he dwells, lives, and manifests himself without measure. In the Old Testament, and he will do a lot of Old Testament reading in his book. In the Old Testament, there were holy places. There were holy, the holies of holies are in the temple. You remember Gila Rundown, my younger brother Donnell preaches a marvelous message about the inner and outer courts. And then you have the inner, outer, you have the outer, the inner, and then the holies of holies, three levels. Something like three levels, like the Trinity. It's really describing, if you really understand what God is saying, he's really describing who you are, you know, the outer, the inner, and then the holies of holies. This is where God is on the inside of us, right? It's kingdom of God. But in those days, the Spirit of God was only in that place. You know, they would tie ropes around the priest's legs when only the priest could go in for the people. Everybody couldn't go in. Like we have now, the veil is torn, thanks to Jesus, and now we all have access to go in. Jesus even said it, go to the Father for yourself. Listen to what I'm saying. But in those days, the presence of God or the habitation of God was in one place, or they carried around in the holies of holies. Even when, and if you go read the book of Genesis, when he tells Abraham to get out, and there's have a marvelous message about Abraham and why the name Lot, they say Lot, when he said, get out from your family, from your kindred. Right? So Abraham's supposed to leave all his family, his kindred, but he took his nephew Lot with him. Okay, mistake number one. The word Lot literally means covering or veil. It is the beginning. Lot going with Abraham becomes the beginning of us being veiled away from the presence of God. Now, God is talking to Abraham, right? He's giving Abraham instructions. Tell him I'm gonna make you, he keeps talking to him, but he doesn't talk to Abraham again until Lot is separated from him. You go, just go read it. Genesis 12, 13, 14, 15. It's amazing how much stuff Abraham goes through until there's a conflict and a lot is separated, and then God begins to speak again. Because he's showing us that became a template for mankind up until Jesus came. And it's important that they said the veil torn. Lot was a veil. Trinidad and Evil was a veil. As much as God is trying to get us to move beyond the veil, sometimes the walls of the church and the rules of the church and the traditions of the church can be a veil covering the idea that you think the church or the building or the place is holy and you're not. It's a veil, right? And so even Abraham building altars, God never told Abraham to build those altars. Abraham built those altars, I think, because it was one of the traditions, one of the things that where he came from. They would worship in a certain way. So Abraham thought to build an altar, right, to God. The first altar Abraham built, God didn't tell him to build an altar. Just go read it. And so we developed this concept throughout the history of time, and we begin to build on it that way, forgetting that we are the living organism who the church. In Matthew 16, right there, when he says, who do men say that I am? Peter jumps off, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Who say you that I am? Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to thee, but my Father's in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Well, the misinterpretation is that he was going to build the church on Peter. Peter means Petros, or a rock, right? Really he's saying, I'm building a firm foundation. And the foundation, it couldn't have been Peter, because Peter was a denier. All right, so it wasn't that, right? It was building it on the revelation of the Christ within, right? And one of these classes, I'm gonna do doing you too, because Jesus says, and you too, Peter. In that, but we'll get this another time. Watch this. It is God's, I'm only on the first line. It is God's tactical operational base where he executes his kingdom dominion. I want you to underline this. Over the kingdoms of the world and his rule into every domain of the world systems. Now, we've attempted to do that structurally from organization, right? But we've organized leaving out the organism. And we've later on in this chapter we'll see that there are many individuals that are in the church that God may have sent in the church organization that God may have sent, but they're lying dormant, not able to be active in the fullness of who they are, right? Now, I'm not talking about singing right now. I know people go to the special gifts in church. Who's the worship leader? Who's the singer? Oh, they got a gift. It's not really a gift. It's just so many people are singing. Everybody can sing right now. It's not really a gift. It's not really that big of a deal. It's not really that big of a deal. The gift is the gift of God within you. The gift is the gift of being able to be submitted enough to be used. This is the gift. Everything else is a channel. Stop making such a big deal about it. It's a channel. So I'm not talking about the singers or who preaches the best or who does the announcements or the leader, the pastor of the youth or the pastor of the children's church or the pastor of the media team or the leader or the deaconess or the elders. I'm not talking about any of that, right? We've been trying to do it that way. And why does that not make as much progress? Why has we got churches on every corner and church buildings on every corner and organization, everybody got a ministry, everybody on Facebook with a message, everybody going live on Sunday, everybody going live on YouTube, everybody going live, and we're still not making the progress that we're having more conversation than conversions. Yep, and we're talking more than we're showing. I read a quote today, had to make a hospital visit, and I read a quote and it says, preach the gospel at all times. Watch out what I say now. It says, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. I had to think about that for a minute. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. It was one of the old saints that said it. I don't know what, you know, those hospitals are sometimes Catholic, but it was an old saint. I said, what do you mean, and when necessary, use words? I thought preaching was a word, but the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, John 1. So is it saying that who I am should be the gospel? Ooh, wow. Who I am is the church? Ooh, wow. Who I am is the gathering? Wow. And when necessary, speak about it. But we made the speaking about it first and the being second. Y'all get what I'm saying? The flesh, I never saw it like this. Thanks, Holy Spirit. And the word was made flesh, but we've allowed the systems and the enemies and the reverse polarity to make the flesh become words. So now we've become all about what we can say and not about who we are. We've been focused more on what we want to say, how we need to say it, the words that are coming out of our mouth, the confessions that happen. We've been so focused on that part of it that we forgot our being, having a form of godliness, but denying their power, and it says, from such turn away. This is what the word repent means, turn away. It is God's technical operation base where he lives in the next paragraph. I'm on page 1, chapter 1. It says, God, I like this, I underline this, God can change his address and start living, moving, and expressing himself on earth as he did when he had the physical body of Jesus. He's doing the same thing with us. So, you are, I am, God's address. Say it, I am God's address. Yes, this is where God lives. So wherever I go, there's where God is. Now, can we get bigger? Let's not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but think soberly, for God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Submission and sobriety, right? And submission and yielding allows us to submit to the understanding that we are only lining up to who God is. Right, we're only aligning up to what God is, who God is, and what God is doing already. Right, so when we become a carrier of God in every situation, but we're only a carrier of God because we've lined up to the way that God carries, lined up to the will of God. I always say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And so, just as He walked, just as Jesus, "I'm in you, I'm in the Father in me, I'm in you, you in me." It's the same principle for us. But we cannot quote this more than we live it, all right? I flip over to page 2. And it says the church, jump down a couple of scriptures, said the church will become God's tactical headquarters and the throne of God when it becomes his desired habitation. Watch this, when you, John 14:9 says, when you see me, you see the Father, right? It becomes we become God's, the throne of God, right? And we become his habitation. Once we realize, let's keep it a buck, and I put John 14:9 in, when you see me, you see the Father. When Jesus said this, he that has seen me has seen the Father. He's trying to say that God is living in me, right? So when you see me, you see all of God. You see what the church looks like. I'm gonna add that in there. You see what the church looks like. When you see me, you see the Father. He's saying this because he wants us to realize that we can say the same thing. We don't have to, invite your friends to church day, right? And I get it. Like, I get it, y'all. Like, I'm not being funny. I'm not making fun of anything. I get it. Been there. I get it. I understand it. Because church as an organization has been more about membership and less about the members. Catch what I'm saying. Your personal members, right? It's been more about getting people in the building and not realizing you are the building. And so invite your friends to church day. I'm not saying anything bad about that. Or this certain day, or that certain day. Or we have these events because we want people to be rallied to come together to hear the word of God. But then when they come in here, what are they hearing? Are you really telling them that they are the church? Even when they leave that building, the building is just a gathering place, right? A normal place, you're gonna see about it in Jacob in a minute. They say, and the next line on this says, a certain place becomes an awesome place. So the building, whatever, sanctuary, whatever, the building becomes only special when the people show up. I used to walk around, I would come to the sanctuary here on campus after, it would be after hours. I had to come and pick up something, or I had to come and everybody's kind of locked up and everybody's gone. I had to come through and walk through the sanctuary, and it's dark in there, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, almost get a little spooky and spiritual, right? Spooky and spiritual. Sometimes spirituality is spooky, right? Spooky and spiritual. And, you know, you walk through, you wait for something to happen, you think something's going on. The place is only a special place because the people are there. When the people aren't there, it's just another building. I know that hurts. I know we want to say it's an anointed temple. Yes. No, you are the anointed temple, right? And God has his hand on the buildings because you're there, because you gather there, not because it is a building, right? All those temples in Rome, all of this, the special synagogues, all that got tore down. Yeah, the one they said God was in, the one Jesus teaching, they tore it all down. They tore them temples down. What you talking about? Some of that stuff burned. What you talking about? Right? You are the temple of God, right? You are the dwelling place of God, and it goes wherever you go. A certain place becomes an awesome place. It's over there, Genesis 28, 10 to 22. And, you know, Jacob starts to, Jacob falls asleep at this place. You can read it for yourself. Jacob falls asleep. Then he has a dream. He sees the angels up and going up and down a ladder, right? And page 3. It says, Jacob came to a certain place, and already the place soon became an awesome place. He used that place to rest and meet his personal needs. Listen, watch. Like most church members who use God's place and God's house without any consciousness that it's God's dwelling or habitation. Watch this. Watch this. I'm going to keep it personal. You use God's house for your personal needs, for your own rest and your own personal needs, not knowing that it's God's habitation. That's why we end up getting over in the different types of lifestyles, different types of understanding, different things that we do health-wise, is because we forget that this is God's habitation. We use it for our personal needs. Watch this. And once again, I understand what he's talking about. He's talking about the building here. But he begins to talk about Jacob, and Jacob gets up, and then he goes again. He's doing like his grandfather, he's going to build another altar, right? And he said, surely the Lord was in this place, and I didn't know it. And I like to say this, and I want you to say it with me. I said before, when I start realizing that the kingdom of God is within me, you gotta realize this is way in Genesis, and Jesus starts to culminate all these things that they were trying to work on, right? This is why we have to read, we really should read from Jesus and the Gospels being our base foundation for understanding, and then let everything else around that be filled with the red. Just like blood fills your body, the red should fill the body of the words, but that's another conversation. But now that I understand that the kingdom of God is within me, then I realize I can say that same statement as Jacob, but have a higher connotation, because surely the Lord was in this place and I didn't know it. I know that hits home for a lot of us because we haven't been told that the Lord, you know, we say the stuff like, we say the words like, invite Jesus into your heart, and we say, great is he that is in you, and we say, but we really don't really know what that means. You think it's a little person that walk around, like, we really don't know what that means, but it really means that the same thing that God is in us. He coded us with his DNA, we were made in his image and his likeness. He coded us with who he is. He coded us with who he is and his will. We're coded on the inside, way, way down. We don't have to confess it in the being. We don't have to code it in the being. We don't have to snatch it out of, no, it's right here trying to come out of us, but we don't realize who we are. He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Like, it'll flow out of you, not a force. It'll flow once you realize, surely the Lord was in this place. And I didn't know it. In the dream, Jacob describes the angels going up and down, you know, and going up and down the ladder. But Jesus, later on, starts to say, and we'll find the scripture, Jesus starts to say, one time he said, the angels descended, ascended and descended on the Son of Man. He's talking about, I am the special place that the angels are coming up and down on. You see the difference? See what? And Jesus is very intentional about saying anything because he understood that after he left, we were going to get stuck back in tradition. Yes, we're going to talk about it. But after he left, we were going to get back to another version of what was before him. Absolutely, he knew it. So he would say specific things that we were, in today's time, supposed to pick up instead of going on the normal process. Page 4. And the heaven became open, the region, the angels descended and ascended. The region became an open heaven to reign. Jacob saw angels ascending and descending on the ladder because they were already here on earth on a mission to minister to the heirs of salvation, the patriarchs. Then it's John 1:51, the scripture I was saying. And Jesus promised Nathanael even more powerful version of this encounter. I just said this when he met. He said, and he said to him, truly, I say unto you, you will see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Now, all of you all are Son of Man. Why would Jesus say Son of Man and Son of God different ways interchangeably? He's trying to make a point. The angels are descending and ascending based on what you bind on earth, bound in heaven, what you loose on earth, loose. It's ascending and descending based on what God is doing in you. But if you're not lined up with the will, you don't even understand what's going on. You don't understand the power that you have. Page 5, and there's a line right under the scripture. It says, the heaven over Bethel, which is Bethel was where Jacob was, had already opened. Watch this, make this line, I underline this. There was divine activity in that certain place. So watch this, there's divine activity on the inside of you. Right? Now, the divine activity starts to happen inside the building. It starts to happen inside the sanctuary. It starts to happen inside the Colosseum or whatever else that where the gospel is going for. The divine activity starts to happen in that place, but it's only happening in that place because it happened in this place first. Any minister that doesn't teach you this is a narcissistic, is making it about them, and maybe trying to hold something back from you. I always remember I said this. Because every man of God that actually hears from God, has a word from God, is going to tell you that you have it on the inside of you. If they don't tell you you have it on the inside of you, then they are trying to make a bigger deal of themselves and build their own kingdoms in the name of Jesus. And do it slick, and it's like, it's so noble, but somebody should tell you that surely the Lord was in this place and you didn't know it. Sure, the Lord is working. The word is introspect. There should be more understanding. Church is introspective. The idea, the concept, the learning of church is an introspective thing, going down on the inside. And I put this in a note of my book. Jesus, it says that there was divine activity in that certain place, and I put Jesus released divine activity. Jesus released divine activity wherever we go. Absolutely. He made it where we were divine, wherever we go. I'm going to flip. He did a lot of reading about Jacob and what was going on in the prophetic element and rebuilding this house. I'm going to flip over to page 12. And I circled this word. I circled it right in the middle of page 12, the second line of that paragraph, first paragraph. And it says, this desire for deep personal transformation will pave the way for the Holy Spirit to bring the church back to her supernatural state. Once again, he's talking about the organization, but I'm talking about the organism, who we are. And then the word, first word says, repentance. I told you we're gonna talk about repentance. Repent means to change your mind. What am I changing my mind from? I'm changing my mind from the fact that I need to go to the building to get holy and realize I am holy. And so the building becomes special because I'm there. You get it? And we don't say that with a high-mindedness or bigotry, but we are the temple of God. You get me? Yes, you can go to a service. I'm not saying you can go to a service, you can be ministered to by somebody there. I get it, all that happens. But just understand what is happening is when they minister to you, they ought to be ministering you from a place of you already got. Did you know that the word miracle, the Greek word for dynamis, and the definition of it is inherent power already within something? So every time you experience a miracle, there was not nobody pulling anything out of the supernatural realm or pulling things from somewhere else or pulling, the miracle was already in the individual or already in the situation. And all somebody had to do was cipher, have enough faith to cipher that up, what already was inherent in something. When the man at the pool of Bethesda gets up and walk, the miracle was already in. That's why Jesus says, take up thy bed and walk. When the miracle is already on the inside, but you just don't know. Surely the Lord was in this place. And I didn't know it. Surely my healing was in this place. And I didn't know it. Surely increase is in this place. But I didn't know it. Surely miracles and the miracle that I need and the miracle working power, it's already lying dormant in this place, but I didn't know it. What would happen if you knew it? If you really knew that already, like if somebody really taught you and you knew it. Well, I know if you had to pay a bill and you knew you had the money in the bank to pay the bill, what's the next thing you do? You withdraw. You wouldn't confess, oh, one day I'm gonna take care of it. Oh, one day I'll affirm. Oh, no, you wouldn't affirm a thing if you knew that it was already in there. Surely the miracle is in me and I didn't know it. I will pick up it's talking about God picking up verse page 12, God handpicked living stone, precut stone, prepared stone, precious stones, and costly stones and great stones. He's talking about us being the and I go back to Peter. Peter means rock. He's talking about us being the foundations or the pieces of the building of the church, because we are the church. And he goes on to talk about that. We'll pick up there on the next class. If you remember anything from this class, surely the Lord was in this place, like Jacob said, and I didn't know it.